If you'll get out a pencil or pen and a piece of paper, something to write on, in just a moment I'm going to give you some information on how you can contact us and how you can get more Bible study materials. The information I'm going to give you is mentioned in the opening and closing of this program every week, but sometimes you know how that goes. It is mentioned so quickly that you don't have a chance to write it down. So if you'll get something to write on in just a minute, I'm going to give you some information that will be helpful to you. We have the church website. We also have my own personal website, and I'm going to give you that information in just a moment. We've been looking at a study of Calvinism and the 5 points of Calvinism. And last week, we began an introductory study by just looking at the basic history of John Calvin and the background to some of his teaching. But we did not get into the actual 5 points of Calvinism, and we want to begin that today. So we'll look at as many of those points as we can in our program this morning, and then we'll continue that, Lord willing, next week. But John Calvin had 5 points. The first letter of each of those points, when you put them together, spells tulip, like the flower. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, or tulip. We want to begin to examine those 5 points, and we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. But I just wanted to remind you of some things that you can have at your disposal. And if you want to write these things down, we'd be glad to help you study God's Word together. First of all, just our address, 290 Warfield Boulevard. We're located pretty close to the intersection of Warfield Boulevard and Wilma Rudolph, right pretty close to the Wyatt Johnson car dealership. We're on Warfield Boulevard in between Dr. Patel's office and the Montessori School, at 290 Warfield Boulevard. And we'd be glad to have you join us for our worship services. On Sunday morning at 9:30, we have Bible classes for all ages, and we're currently studying in the adult class the matter of home and family and better marriages, better parenting, better mothers and fathers and children. And I know that we could use better families in our society. A lot of the problems that we're having in our world today stems from the fact that the family is not following God's Word. And so we're studying home and family, and then we have Bible classes for all ages, college age, on down to the little toddlers, and they're studying various Bible subjects. And so on Sunday morning at 9:30, if you can join us for one of our Bible classes, we would love to have you. And then at 10:30, we have our worship hour, and we engage in acts of worship that are very similar to that of New Testament Christians. We want to be first century Christians in the 21st century. We don't want to add to or take from that, and you'll experience that in our worship hour at 10:30. And then on Sunday evening, again at 6 p.m. for worship. And Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we have our Bible classes again for about an hour, from 7 to 8 p.m. And so we'd love to have you come. Our meeting place is 290 Warfield Boulevard. I'm going to give you our church phone number. If you'd like to call and leave a message, if you need some help in some way spiritually, or if you would like to study from God's Word, we'd be glad to set up a time to do that. If you'll just call and leave your information, the number is 931-647-1324. 931-647-1324. Call and leave us a message, and we'll be glad to get back with you. We also have a website, wbcoc.org. It stands for Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, wbcoc.org. On that website, you will find a number of helpful studies and things that I believe will help you to grow in your relationship with God as you study from God's Word. You'll find all of my sermons that I preach each week. They are listed there. And past Let the Bible Speak programs are listed on that website. So if you miss a Let the Bible Speak program on Saturday morning and would like to catch that again, you can listen to that recording, wbcoc.org. We also have our weekly church bulletin. We have other articles there that you can read, Bible studies, and we list some of our Bible classes, the adult Bible classes, any material that we've been studying there is listed as well on the website, wbcoc.org. Sermons, past issues of the Let the Bible Speak program, past recordings, our church bulletin, and other materials that you would enjoy looking at. Also, I wanted to mention, if you want to write down my own personal website, thegoodteacher.com. I have had this website since around 2006, and there are hundreds of studies on that website, many sermons and articles and Bible class material, thegoodteacher.com. And you're welcome to get on that site, and you might find something there that would be helpful in your own personal study. And if you'd like to contact me personally, I'm going to give you my email. We'd be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to study anything in God's Word, if you'd like to contact me about the Let the Bible Speak program, if you'd like for me to address something on the program, if you will email me and offer that suggestion, I'd be glad to honor that. My email is chrisreevesmail, M-A-I-L, at gmail.com. C-H-R-I-S-R-E-E-V-E-S, mail, M-A-I-L, at gmail.com. chrisreevesmail at gmail.com. And would be glad to hear from you, and feel free to avail yourself to these two websites, or contact me in some way and come by for a visit. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, as we've said in our recordings, where we speak the truth in love. That's taken from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking the truth in love. And we want to do that for all of us, anyone and everyone who will come and hear God's Word. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program, and let's continue now looking at our study of the 5 points of Calvinism. We want to begin this morning by looking at the first point, total depravity. And what I'd like to do in each of these points is first state the Calvinistic position on each point, give a proof text or so that they offer, and then an answer to each point. So, John Calvin had 5 points. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. The first letter of each of those spells TULIP. Let's take total depravity. Calvin taught that each individual that comes into the world is inheriting, totally inheriting the sin of Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, everyone after, starting with Cain and Abel and everyone down to this present time and into the future, they will inherit Adam's sin. And they say total hereditary depravity. You inherit it from Adam and Eve, and it's total in that you cannot do anything good to be saved. Every aspect of your being, emotionally and physically and mentally, it's totally depraved to the point that you cannot do anything good to be saved. So they say the sin of Adam corrupted the whole human race. Adam's guilt was transmitted to all humans. Some call it original sin, especially in the Catholic Church. You'll hear that term used. Accordingly, man is so corrupted and depraved or spiritually dead that he cannot do any good whatsoever to be saved. Man cannot exercise his free will to do good. Total depravity means that you do not have any free will to do any good. You are wholly inclined to do evil. You have a inclination or a bent or a slant or a depraved nature where when you're born, you're inclined to do evil. Sin is inherited from Adam. And a child is in sin at birth. And a child is totally depraved at birth. So that was his first point. There are different passages that Calvinists used as proof text to allegedly prove this point. One in the Old Testament comes from the story of Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and Jehovah saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of his heart was only evil continually. And that's true. Sin and wickedness was great. It was rampant. It was everywhere. But read the verse again carefully, friends. It doesn't say that these individuals inherited it from Adam. It just speaks of the greatness of man's wickedness and how thorough it was in an individual. Sin can take hold of every imagination of the thought of man's heart. But the text doesn't say that they got all of that inherited from Adam. Another passage that is used by Calvinists is Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, where David is talking about his sin, probably talking about the sin that he had committed with Bathsheba, and he's looking back on that and how that he sinned in doing that and how that he was forgiven when he wanted to get rid of that sin. But in Psalm 51 in verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And so that looks like he was born in sin. But when you take this passage and you consider its poetic nature and you compare it, for example, to Psalm 58 and verse 3, you find that what the psalmist is talking about here is the wicked world in which he was born into, and more likely the sin of his mother or the sinful world around him. If you read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, he clearly takes responsibility for his own sin. It's a sin that he has committed. He did not inherit that from his mother. But verse 5, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," is talking about the sinful world that he was born into. In Psalm 58 and verse 3, again another psalm attributed to David, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." Have you ever heard of a baby come out of his mother's womb and he immediately starts speaking lies? He's not even speaking, let alone lies. This is talking about how soon a person can go astray. It's using hyperbole to say that a person goes astray as if he were doing that from his very birth. It's to show how soon a person does that and how rampant that is in the world. These are poetic expressions that must be considered. They do not teach that you're born in sin. Let's look at a couple of New Testament passages that Calvinists use to try to prove total and hereditary depravity. One is in Romans chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there, where Paul is talking about in this context the consequences that came from Adam's sin and the consequences that came from Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Adam and Christ are compared and contrasted in what followed each of them. It's a great text. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world," talking about Adam, "and death through sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all sinned. So, the expression, death passed unto all men, for that all sinned, that expression is used by Calvinists to mean that Adam passed his sin onto all people that came thereafter. No, read the verse carefully. The reason that death passed unto all men, for that all sinned, and they sinned by their own choosing. They didn't sin by inheriting it from Adam. Paul had made the point earlier in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When we grow up and get older, and we choose to sin, we are following in the footsteps of Adam, but not because we inherit that from him. If you keep on reading down through the text, Paul talks about what happens when Jesus died on the cross. And if all men inherit Adam's sin because of verse 12, if you come down to verse 19, for example, then all men would be saved because of Jesus on the cross. And we know that that's not the case. The Bible tells us that many people will be lost. Paul writes in verse 19, Romans 5, 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, Christ, shall the many be made righteous. Do all men inherit the righteousness of Christ if they inherit the sin of Adam? What proves one thing proves too much. This is talking about the consequence that comes from Adam's sin and the consequence that comes from Jesus dying on the cross. It does not talk about inheriting Adam's sin. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, the first few verses. Ephesians chapter 2, this is another Calvinist proof text for total hereditary depravity. The Apostle Paul is talking about the Ephesians and how they became Christians when Paul was in Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. He preached the gospel, and some were obedient to the gospel. They became Christians. And Paul, looking back, is writing to them in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. And you Ephesian Christians, you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. That's spiritual death. Wherein you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. So Calvinists will use that statement in verse 3. We're by nature children of wrath. And they use that word nature to mean that you're born in sin. That's the natural thing. It's naturally in you when you're born. But that's not what that word means. The Greek word phusis means nature by practice. We would say that somebody who practices a sport or practices a musical instrument, they can do it like second nature. They've been practicing it so much it becomes natural for them. Nature here does not mean inheriting sin from Adam. It means what Paul had just been talking about in verses 2 and 3, that they had been making a practice of sin. And he includes himself in verse 3. Look at verse 2. Walked according to the course of this world. Look at verse 3. Lived in the lust of your flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. They had been making a practice of it, and they needed to be saved from that sin. Nature does not mean born totally depraved with Adam's sin. So, having looked at a few proof texts of Calvinism, how would we answer this first point, total hereditary depravity? What's the scriptural truth on the matter? Well, first of all, each individual, all of us, everyone listening this morning, past, present, and future, we're all born upright and innocent. We're all born upright and innocent. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. Moreover, your little ones that you have said should be a prey, your children that this day have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Talking about the land of Canaan. The little children who do not have a knowledge of good or evil. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, God makes man upright. And then they later seek out evil and wicked imaginations and inventions and deeds. He makes man upright. Jesus said that if we are to come into the kingdom of heaven, we must repent and become like a little child. I believe he has reference to their innocency in addition to other qualities of a little child, their innocency. Matthew 18, verse 3. We're all born upright and innocent. Number two, the scripture teaches that sin is committed, not transmitted. We commit sin when we get old enough to commit sin. It's not transmitted to us. It's put to our account when we commit it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 9. Sin is a violation of God's law. It's when we do what we're not supposed to do. It's when we fail to do what we are supposed to do. Romans 7, verse 9. I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. There was a time when Paul was innocent and then he violated a commandment in God's law. Sin is when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. James 1, 13 through 14. That's not something that's found in an infant. 1 John 3, 4. Sin is lawlessness, violating God's law. It's a act that is committed, not something transmitted to us. Sin is unrighteousness. 1 John 5, 17. It's an act that is committed that makes us unrighteous. And little babies don't do that. They're innocent. The third scriptural truth is that each one is accountable for his own sin. We're not accountable to God because of inheriting something from Adam. This was discussed all the way back in Ezekiel's day. During the Babylonian captivity, some 600 years before the time of Christ, in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, notice that, the soul that sins, it's what you commit. It doesn't say the soul that inherits depravity. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. We each are accountable for our own acts of righteousness and for our own acts of sin. Number four, sin in one's life does not eliminate all good where we cannot obey the gospel. Remember, Calvin's point was that a person is born totally depraved. Every aspect of his being is depraved and he cannot do any good whatsoever to obey the gospel. Well, turn with me to Luke chapter 8 in the well-known parable of the sower. Luke 8 in the well-known parable of the sower. when Jesus talks about the parable of the sower, he mentions several things here that actually contradict Calvinism. Luke chapter 8, verse 9, the disciples ask what the parable means. And Jesus said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Notice that a person hears it, and he has an opportunity to believe and be saved, but the devil takes that away. Calvin says that some people are predestined to be lost. They couldn't be saved anyway. But Jesus says these people have an opportunity to believe and be saved, but they let the devil take the word from their heart. Number two, those on the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy. And these have no root for a while, believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They accept the word of God. The Calvinist says that if you're going to be lost, you can't even accept the word of God. Jesus says these people receive the word with joy. And for a while, believe. And then, in time of temptation, fall away. We're going to see later when we look at the 5 points of Calvinism, they say that you can't fall away. But Jesus said you can. And then look at this verse. This is the one that I wanted to bring to your attention with regard to total depravity. Verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now look at this, verse 15, and they in the good ground, or that in the good ground, these are such as have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast, and bring forth fruit with patience. A person who is not saved still has a good and honest heart to hear the word of God. So no, we are not so totally depraved that we cannot have a good and honest heart. And I'm hoping that this program reaches every week good and honest hearts who want to believe and obey God's word. So no, sin does not so totally deprave us that it eliminates all good in our life. And then last of all, sin can grow worse. If a person is totally depraved, he could never get any worse than he is at birth. And yet Paul says that some grow worse and worse. Evil men will grow worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Friends, total hereditary depravity was a teaching of John Calvin, but it's not a teaching of the Word of God. We must always stand with the Word of God. We're glad that you've joined us this morning, and Lord willing, we'll pick up with the next point of these 5 points of Calvinism next week. We hope that you'll tune in to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us today, and we hope that you'll have a good day.